Well, good evening, Harvest family. Trust everyone's doing well. It's had a good week thus far, and it's starting to warm up out there. Yeah, starting to warm up. Won't be long. I think I saw in the weather it was supposed to be like close to 90 before the weekend, 90, so it's warming up. And not in here, Miss Carrie, outside. But yeah, so the AC will be kicking in even more so. We're trying to get our above-ground pool ready for this when we get back from a trip, a little place to cool off. Granddaughters are jumping up and down, excited, can't wait to get in. So we're looking forward to getting a little exercise for that. And so glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together. We'll open a word of prayer and sing our first song, Day by Day. And let's go and ask God's blessings on our service tonight. Brother Dave Smith, will you open us in prayer? All right, so you have your Bibles tonight. Well, I know it's been a little while, so not a real much of a recap, just real quickly. And we talked the last time about the temptation of vengeance or revenge. It's been a few weeks, and we've had some missionaries in between and some other fellowships. So 1 Samuel chapter number 24, and we'll try to cover, finish up this portion of the temptation and revenge. Vengeance, temptation, vengeance, and revenge. As we said last time, before we read our text and pray, we talked about vengeance. It was, you know, it's punishment inflicted in retaliation for an injury or other offense. And we don't want to be involved in aspect of vengeance, you know. All the old aspects, don't get mad, get even. No, don't do that. Go ahead and get upset, but swallow it and go on and put it in the Lord's hand and not trying to get even. And then we talked about not only vengeance, but revenge, and referring to avenge oneself or another, usually by retaliation in kind or degree. And of course, should not be our goal. And the only way we ever should retaliate in any form, and retaliate's not word, in kind, if someone's been a blessing to you and you want to return, that's good. But not getting even, not getting angry. And we looked at our story in chapter number 24. And we capped off chapter 23 the previous weeks. And then we looked at, in reference today, we looked at his situation in verse 3. And then we looked at his temptation in verse 4. And then tonight we'll look at verses 8 through 22 and look at his conversation. So let's go ahead and look at our text in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And we'll pick up in verse number 8. As you remember, we'll go ahead and read verse number 7, where we left off last time, and we talked there. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Remember, Saul had stopped to rest his feet, and we discussed some of the meaning that may be included in the rest area there. And while his men was around the walls of the cave in the complete darkness, David still had the control over these men from the time that he spent with them that were misfits, those were disgruntled, those were hurt, those were on the run. And we say, as we read the Bible, Dave became the captain over them, and he was able to stay them with just his words, not to retaliate, though they felt, here's our enemy, here's our chance for revenge, here's our chance for a vengeance to get even, and David stays them off. And then in verse 8, right after Saul rises up and leaves, David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My Lord, my King." Okay, this real quick. How hard would that have been for me, you to say, after what you just went through? My Lord, my King. Not Lord as in what we think of as our Lord, but him being a servant to King Saul. My Lord, my King. It had to be difficult. David no doubt had a tender heart and a compassion to do the right thing no matter what anyone else did. Just do the right thing. He went out to the cave and cried unto Saul, saying, "My Lord, the King." And when Saul look behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord have delivered thee the day into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but I but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. But thou, and see that therefore is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After the flea? The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David lifted his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord have delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up in the hold. Father, bless the reading of your word and be with us now over the next few moments, Father. Help us to glean and learn some things in scripture to help us. And Lord, help us always be mindful of the aspect of never having vengeance and revenge in our vocabulary, in our attitude, in our words, or in our actions. Father, help us again now. And we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for things that we can glean and learn from those before us. And Father, help us, Lord, to put some things in our hearts, Lord, that would help us. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, we looked at the situation, the temptation, and now tonight, just two, I think we'll have plenty of time. First of all, his conversation, which we just read about in verses 8 through 22. And a couple comments here in your first blank. When we do right, your enemy will not always see the error of his ways as quickly. Just because we're doing the right thing does not mean everyone else is going to do the right thing. Just because we want to correct an error and we want to do things what's right don't mean they will respond well. From reading our text here, it sounds like, and we'll find out later, that King Saul has realized what's taking place. He's left. David has stayed there, but we're going to find out before we close that once again Saul gets up and goes after David. Where was the commitment? Where was the promise? And going way ahead in our story, we'll find out that David does have an opportunity to spare King Saul's household, and he does. He does. He keeps his promise. So remember, when you do right, your enemy will not always see the error of his ways. He will not always turn and repent and view you as being correct. And if he does, he may not be sincere at all. Look over at chapter 26. And I believe it's chapter 26, let's see, verse 1 and 2. And the Ziphites came unto Saul in Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself on the hill of Heshliah, which is before Jessamon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. I don't think he's going there to say, Hey, David, thank you once again with 3,000 men. So he has already forgotten the commitment. He's already forgotten how David spared his life. Because why? Vengeance, revenge, anger, all these things are still bubbling up that Saul just cannot let go. Number two, under his conversation, you're responsible for telling a person the truth, but it is impossible to make him change his opinion. We're responsible to be truthful and present what is truth, but we are not responsible for them to change their opinion. We got to be real careful, and I made the comment on Sunday. I want to be careful. If we're not careful, I don't want to encourage someone to repeat a prayer or encourage someone to make a decision on emotions. I want to make sure they understand that they're a sinner, understand they need to be saved by grace, and not just be in a position hearing the preacher preach, give an invitation, and repeating a prayer after someone. I want them to understand why they're doing what they're doing and the reason of what the Word of God tells us. So we, on that aspect, have to make sure that we're doing what's right with the truth, but we can't make another person change their opinion. We can't, but we'll know our conscience is clear. Number three, he may die believing the lie, but you will know the fulfillment of righteous dealings and your conscience will be clear. I remember a situation, I don't want to take the time to go into all the details, that Michelle and I got hurt some time ago by a couple of other preachers on the mission field. And basically, in a nutshell, we filled in for a preacher on going away on a furlough to keep his ministry together. And while he was away, the church did grow. The Lord just blessed college and career high school students, outnumbered college students and junior high school kids, outnumbered the rest of the congregation. Most of the kids were there without their parents. And when I came back, we had a big service, had an orchestra in from one of the other churches across town, had a big party for them. And when the service is over, he hugged my neck and thanked me and said, "Don't come back, I'll take it from here." Now, 7 years later, I got a phone call and a letter from another missionary who was somewhat involved and saying, "Brother Cook, please forgive me." I accept his forgiveness and told him I did after that had happened. Because if I let that eat me up and let it ride on me, I'd be no good. Bitterness will not allow you to have any type of effective ministry. Bitterness will eat you up from the inside out. And as long as we know, well, I'm going to turn over to God and ask him to take care of it, my conscience is clear, I will go forward in ministry. I can't make them do what is right, but God can deal with them. I promise you, I've been there before, this situation where bitterness will get a hold of you, and it's hard to be effective in ministry and loving and teaching others and trying to reach others for Christ when the inside, you already know you're full of bitterness, you're full of fury, and you could be in many aspects. You cannot be effective. Let it go. Trust the Lord to take care of it. And we'll see as we continue to go that David continues to do the right thing, even though King Saul continues to do the wrong thing. His conversation, we know by our story, David meant what he said. He might have even realized that Saul might not have meant what he said. After all, he did stay there. Let's go ahead a little further, number four. Here it's a long closing, but as we wrap this up, some practical application to consider. Some practical applications to consider when we looked at the situation, the temptation, the conversation, the aspect of vengeance and revenge. When it comes to the temptation of revenge, we should consider three principles. Number one, since man dwells in a corrupt body, expect to be mistreated. Expect to be mistreated. Again, we're going to be mistreated in ministry. I could share example after example of not just what happened, what I told you on the mission field, but another occasion I shared with you a few weeks ago where the pastor announced my resignation on a Wednesday night when I was in the other building working with the kids. I didn't know I was resigning, but I kept my mouth closed. We went home, put our house up for sale. We went on our way. Now, I've never had a chance to talk with that pastor again. He's in heaven now, and they've got a new pastor. The church is going on. They're doing very well. But once again, I can't control what other people do, but I can control what I do. I ask the Lord on occasion, if I've offended someone in ministry, if I've done another preacher wrong, Lord, help show me that I may make it right, because I think that's an application that I want to keep in my life, because I know that I'm going to be mistreated, but I don't want to mistreat others. Sin is the root cause of all of our problems, and when we respond in the flesh, we will respond like King Saul. It's in us. It's in all of us. But will we make sure that we don't allow the root of sin or bitterness creep up for us to respond that way? Number two, since mistreatment is certain, anticipate feelings of revenge. I mean, we're human nature. We can't live above sin. We're going to have the temptations. We all have the same. I mean, if I'm out working on the building over here and we're working away and several of us guys hit our finger with a hammer, each one of us is going to react a little bit different. But what goes in, ear gate, eye gate, things we're involved in eventually may come out. Let's make sure that we're very careful and ask the Lord and spend that time with the Lord to anticipate feelings of revenge, that we don't allow it to be voiced. It's bad enough to think it, but much less to let it be voiced. You can't avoid mistreatment, but you can avoid revenge. Bottom line. Handling mistreatment doesn't come naturally. Rare is individual who will not retaliate or at least think about it. Or at least want to. It's human nature. I'm reminded, my children are grown now, and being around our granddaughter so much now, you see it. You can almost anticipate seeing the girls in there playing, doing something, and one of them do something to the other and get up and run. And I can almost guarantee, 5, 4, 3, that I know one's going to get up and take off after the other sister, and there's going to be screaming in the other room or whatever. And the other day, something happened, and Jovi did something, probably Thea. It's either Thea or Ivy, because that's the only two that are left. But I think it was Thea. And then she got up and took off running, and Thea just brooded there just for a moment. And she looked up, and she saw me. And I said, what you going to do? I don't know, Peppo. And needless to say, she knew I saw, she knew I heard, and she decided to stay put. And I walked into the room and asked Jovi if she needed to come back and apologize to her sister. They're little. It's just human nature. They all want to respond to defend yourself because you don't always think first before we respond. Number three, since the desire for revenge is predictable, refuse to fight back in the flesh. Refuse to fight back in the flesh. I know it's hard. It can be difficult. And I have been guilty myself lately. I got a little frustrated over something that was said and done. I bit my tongue, but I did. I bit my tongue a little bit, but I did voice some things. And it's there. You got to watch yourself and ask later, okay, did I overstep? Maybe I could have said that a little softer. And so in the aspect of preparation and knowing how to respond, I'll say this publicly. I've already talked to my wife. I'm on day 4 of steroids. I don't like the way they make me think or feel. I'm hot. My hands are sweaty. My feet are sweaty. I empathize with you ladies about those hot flashes. I'm all hot. I can't sleep at night on day 4, day 5, and day 6. And then it's over. And then day 7, day 8, I recover. I'm irritable. And I've already told Michelle, I'm so sorry. He goes, why? He goes, just what may come in the next few days. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm already, you know, I know how to respond. There's medications I take for a congestion. I can't take it every 4 hours. I can take it once to get me through the day. If I take some of that stuff a few days, I am a grizzly bear waking up from hibernation. I don't like it. I don't, but it's a side effect. And therefore, I try to stay away from that medication. If we know other things will affect us and other people how they affect us, maybe sometimes we need to be careful about our conversation or our distance, or just make sure you're prayed up real good before you talk with them. Because we're human. We're gonna make mistakes and think things. It's okay, and I think I said this a few weeks ago, it's okay to fight back the flesh, but don't fight back in the flesh. And there's a big difference there. Make sure we try to get those things under control. And Lord, help me not to respond, Lord, the wrong way or too harshly in other ways. If you're resentful of the way someone has treated you, if you're hoping you can retaliate or get even, you need to ask God to free you from that bondage. And let me add to that. It is bondage. Think about it for a moment. You've ever in your life been upset, hurt, angry, any of those categories of strong emotions, don't tell me you've been there at that point and haven't thought about, well, how can I take care of this only, or how can I handle not responding? More likely than not, the brain, the flesh is thinking about, okay, how can I one-up him? How can I get back? How can I? It's not the game where we joke guys and tease one another, maybe pull a prank and we want to do a one-up for fun. That's all in fun, but in vengeance and revenge, that can be very hurtful, very damaging. It could hurt a young Christian. It could push a lost person further away from the Lord. Okay, you might think it, but when you think it, let's fight it back and not use that to fight in the flesh. Ask the Lord, you know, to expose it. Ask him to expose it, all of it, and put an end to it. Referring to any vengeance or frustration or anger or hurt that you may have. Because being stuck in that is a bondage. Man, I've talked to people through the years of ministry that haven't been in church for years, had built a relationship with them, and only later to find out they had not been in church. We'd established a relationship. I remember a gentleman in particular when we were in Germany. Built a good relationship. He liked me, never came to church, always asked every time I come in how I was doing. Once in a while we sit down and talk, and one day he took his break as assistant manager at the Burger King. Yeah, I ate a lot of double whoppers back then. I ate a double whopper every week after I played racquetball. Every week. And then I sitting in there, he come over and said, I'm going on break, can we talk? And we come by and we sit down and talk. He goes, I haven't told you this, and I know you're a pastor. You've been witnessing to me, witnessing everyone, other people in Burger King. And he says, I want to thank you, but I want to be honest with you. I know I'm saved, but I've been out of the will of God and running for God for 5 to 7 years. And he just began to weep. He said, I've been so angry. I've been so bitter. I've been so frustrated. I've never realized how far away that I've gotten from God. I used to be involved in the bus ministry. I taught a class, and I've seen you over the last 8-9 months, and I'm just now getting up enough nerve to talk to you. You reminded me of who I was 7 years ago. I wasn't the pastor, but I was talking to people. I was joyful. I invited people to church. I sat down and had coffee with other men and mentoring them and met with them as I would meet with people every Tuesday and Thursday morning at the Burger King over coffee. And he says, the Lord has just been dealing with me, and I just can't get rid of this anger. So that tells me, can you imagine being that? Is that not bondage to feel that way for 7 years? But then that release of talking about it, as he broke down and wept, he's actually in church the next Sunday. He actually put in for a transfer as a civilian with the company if he could work somewhere else at another location back in the States to try to work things back with his family back where he came from. If we're not careful, that bitterness, that anger, or my way or the highway. If it's got to be your way in all things and all times, there's going to be a time you're going to get hurt. You're going to get angry, and you're going to take your toys and go home. And most kids who take their toys and go home don't have anybody to play with until they get over it. And we need to be very careful of that aspect of vengeance and revenge. See, if we continue to think the aspect of I have been done wrong and I will wait for the opportunity to get even. I'm not mad. I'm just going to get even. We will never see the hand of God at work on our behalf. Another thing this gentleman said, he said, Pastor, I can't think of how many people that I've worked with that come through these doors that I'm afraid to think they might be in hell because I didn't have a testimony for 7 years. I mean, he was just broken. I'm so glad that he turned things around. I'm so glad he's on the mend and heading back in the right direction. Dear friends, if we continue to say, I have my rights, then who are we thinking of only? Self. No missionary will ever be effective on the mission field with the attitude as I have my rights. When the missionary goes to the mission field, he has no rights. It's not America everywhere else. They can't vote. They can't register. They have no rights to insurance, no rights to health to be treated any differently. They will treat you, but you're going to pay for it. You have to go through all the permissions to live there, the visas, keeping your passport up to date, the living permits. You've got to go jump through all hoops because you are a foreigner. And the American is who says, well, wait, hey, I'm an American. The first time I heard someone say that, I was embarrassed. I went over and whispered in his ear, I said, shut up. It's because of you that makes it hard for people like me that want to stay in the country. And it's the same aspect here. We have to realize that we don't have any rights. If we say, I have my rights, we got to relinquish those to God. Let the Lord take care of. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If we get so caught up and those things, we'll be no earthly good at all of the Lord in ministering to others. I have my rights. And then I have justified retaliation. It's justified. I can retaliate. He did it to me. Do unto others as they do unto you. No, that's wrong. That's stinking thinking. But if we think that way and respond that way, we will never overcome our temptation of vengeance or revenge. I have my rights. I have justified retaliation. That type of thinking will never overcome our temptation of vengeance or revenge. It's the next thing. It's the next thing. And boy, we saw it over and over on the mission field. I've seen over and over Americans from the embassy, missionaries, other ones that are just visiting, wanting to live in the country for a period of time to help start a business. It's like, well, okay, wait a minute. I'm an American. I mean, just how brass and cocky does that sound? But yet people think that some Americans think they're superior. And by the way, there is no such thing as, no, this phrase is incorrect. I speak American. No, you speak English. American is a citizenship. But yet sometimes people have that attitude and it reflects and it hurts. And I've seen so many foreigners, American, going into foreign countries making those mistakes as they feel like, well, I'm here to serve. We have this humanitarian aid. We have this thing. We're trying to help the people. Okay, you're fine. You're trying to help the people. But you don't have a right to treat people that way. You don't have a right to expect them to roll out the red carpet just because you're there to help. Wait your turn. Do like everyone else has to do. Go through the process. And along the way, you just might be a good testimony. Now, what happened to David? First, Saul did the injury. He's the one that began the conflict or caused the injury. Not just to David, but all those families, those in the kingdom, those that fled. Saul was the source. Second, David came upon Saul at a vulnerable time. Here's David, he's on the run. But yet when he finally sees him in that cave, he is the one that's not safe. Here David, we would say in the world, David is holding all the cards. He has all the advantage. He's the one there with a sharp knife in his hand. And by the way, to cut off that skirt that quietly, it had to be really sharp. But there he was at the advantage. But instead of taking the advantage, David took the high road and did what he thought was the right thing to do to honor the Lord. Saul did the injury. David came upon Saul at a vulnerable time. And third, David could have stabbed him, but it would have been seen as revenge. As we read the context, even there, all of his men, here's our chance. Here's the opportunity. No matter what took place, how and why would David want to take the head of the kingdom, become the king, when everyone knew it was out of revenge? God was preparing David. All this time of running, all this time of what took place, and you'll hear me say this again, God was preparing David to be the next king all during this time. He was still in school of hard knocks. He was still in preparation, and God was molding him, preparing him to be king. His friends would have applauded, but he would have had the thought on his conscience for the rest of his life. There would have been others that would have thought the same way. So, what would you have done? With your quiet voices in your own mind, what would you have done? How do we respond? How have we responded in the past when we've had these opportunities? Would you have gotten revenge? When life's temptation attempts to draw you in, let me encourage you, refuse to yield. Refuse to yield. You will never regret forgiving. You will never regret forgiving anyone, someone, whatever word you want to use, who doesn't deserve it. That is the most Christ-like. I can honestly say, and I hope you feel the same way, I can't think of anyone that I know, whether I forgive them forgiveness before they asked, or forgiveness after they asked. I've had no regrets. None whatsoever. Years ago, I know we're going to be through a little bit early tonight, but this was the end, and I didn't see any need to pad it just because I had time. We were in Moldova, and I mentioned a group of high school kids and college kids and then some adults. I did not know this, but within the church, there was a young college girl, maybe high school, freshman year, I can't remember, and another lady who is visiting church on and off that had gotten into a heated battle. discussion. Words flew. The young girl was a young Christian, only saved like 2 or 3 months. The lady who was not a member of the church but went to another church, had visited on occasion to the church when her church wasn't having a service or when their church wasn't having communion. We had a lot of people visit our church, but the first Sunday of the month, they would go back to their church to have communion. But anyway, there was an aunt there. I did not know it. I had no idea. And that night, I was teaching and preaching on vengeance and forgiveness. A different message, but vengeance and forgiveness. Guess the two ladies I asked to help me with an illustration. I did not know. They were sitting in the same section, but one in toward the front and one toward the back. I had no idea that they were at odds with one another. I had no idea. And the young girl, she was the younger Christian. Now, and I didn't realize it. And looking back, maybe understanding the culture and the language a little better, because it was early in our ministry, I might have detected it, but I didn't. Now, I asked the lady if she would mind coming and helping. Why? I would pick someone who wasn't a member of our church other than maybe she was close by. She gladly got up. And then I looked up, was looking around, I was going to get someone else, and there she was, hiding, trying to hide behind Ruslan, another gentleman in front of her trying to hide. And so out of fun, I called her name because she was trying to hide. She looked at me, and she did not want to come. She looked at me like this. She loved me and Michelle. She was newly saved. And I said, come on. And she stomped her way up. I had no idea they were at odds. None. Earthly idea. And I went through the process of forgiveness and saying, it's, you know, when someone asks you to forgive them, you don't say that's okay. You allow them to ask for forgiveness and then you verbally give them forgiveness. If not, Satan will use that. They never said they forgive you. They just said it was okay. They never said, I forgive you. So we went through the process and one asked the other forgiveness. And they were both, when they realized who it was, they were both like this at each other. So it wasn't very convincing visually, but they both had to go through the process and help me ask forgiveness, give forgiveness, and later ask forgiveness and give to the other. And they went through the process very reluctantly. Neither one of them meant it, by no means. I found out after the service, one of the other students, I think it was Ruslan, came over, who was a senior in college, an economics major, said, Pastor Cook, Pastor, they called me Douglas. They couldn't say Douglas, Pastor Douglas. And he filled me in, and I said, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no. I said, so what do you think? He goes, I think you better go watch to make sure they're not. So long story short, the young girl did come to me and said, Pastor, I didn't mean what I said. I didn't do it, mean it, because. And she explained the ought and what was going on. And I asked her, well, what are you going to do? I need to talk to her, Pastor, and I need to mean it. I had no earthly idea. And that did so much for this church. It did so much for the youth family. Before everyone left that day, that those two ladies got together and they worked it out. And they put down vengeance and revenge away. And they didn't allow those things to get together. And to see them embracing and hugging one another before I left meant more to me than anything that had to do with the sermon that night at all. Don't allow vengeance, revenge, frustration, anger, because it's bondage once it gets hold. And it will not let go. Satan will do all he can to keep a hold of you until you address it and deal with it the biblical way and the right way that honors the Lord. And then that thing can be relinquished. Is the hurt going to be there? Yes. Are you still going to have some feelings of frustration? Yes, you're only human. But then you remind yourself with the Lord's help, I did it the way God wants me to do it. Father, now help me to move on with my life. And by the way, those two ladies, as far as I know, never had another spat. At least they did. They hit it. But I just think the Lord has a wonderful sense of humor the way those things worked out. And we never know. So let's, as we close tonight, remember, the temptations of vengeance or revenge, no matter how close you walk with God, is going to be there. But we just need to make sure we fight back the flesh and not fight in the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Father, help us as we strive to move together in the same direction to serve you. Father, help us always to be willing to give up our rights so the rights of others can go on, especially when it comes to our brother and sister in Christ. Lord, especially as long as it doesn't violate Scripture. And Father, help us always to be willing to forgive and to forget, always be willing to receive a request for forgiveness and give it verbally back so that it can never be misunderstood by the other individual or Satan to use it in any way. Father, help us to labor and do all we can to remember, though I get frustrated, though I get anger, those feelings are real, those are natural, but I am to fight back the flesh and not fight in the flesh. Father, help us as we labor together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Lord bless you. I'll take that credit over to me when I...